Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. We have a treat tonight. We're going to go away from Illini sports, and we're going to talk some boxing with legendary boxing announcer Jim Lampley. A lot of you grew up with him on HBO from 87 all the way to the very end when HBO stopped broadcasting boxing, much to the chagrin of many boxing fans across the world. But we had an opportunity to talk to him about the Anthony Joshua Nogueira fight, and we thought that it would be fun to put this out here just for folks. If you haven't had a chance to listen to big sports radio, we will do any of the big events that are coming up on a weekend, whether it's Big Ten, which is our focus, but we'll talk Super Bowl, we'll talk boxing, we'll talk all sorts of sports. And very rarely do you have a legend like Jim Lampley who's willing to sit down and talk about what's going on. I want to preface with one thing. I tend to look, and this is just me, you know, being old fashioned, but if the heavyweight title's not on the line, I look at it as an exhibition. And obviously, the fight with Tyson Fury in Nagano was not an exhibition, but the title was not on the line. So that's a little bit more pro wrestling ish, but hey, it's Tyson Fury, so that's not surprising. And the other thing is Jim talks about how he is doing a chat function with PPV.com. And of course, if you are listening to this podcast before March 8th at 1 p.m. Eastern, you can jump on to PPV.com and enjoy Jim's chat thoughts on what is going on. I can tell you after listening to him for 30 years, you'll pick up some stuff and you'll know a lot more about what's going on in the fight than you would ever anticipate if you choose to exercise that option. And the other thing I will tell you is Illini Guys subscribers, we actually have what we call the game room, which is a live chat that you'll get Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince and Matt Stevens and a ton of subscribers in there who are going back and forth. So it's a similar feature to what PPV.com is doing. And it is incredibly popular on IlliniGuys.com. And certainly with Jim Lampley, it's got to be amazing for PPV.com. But we're going to let you listen to this interview plus a couple extra questions that I got to ask him because he's a gentleman and he gave us more time than what was promised, which is just the type of guy that Jim Lampley is. So without further ado, let's have a quick commercial break and then we'll get right back with Jim Lampley.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Welcome back to the show today. This is Mike Kegley, and I will tell you that we're in really danger of me geeking out because we've got one of the guys who has been one of my idols in broadcasting. Jim Lampley is on the show today, legendary boxing journalist. He is returning to PPV.com and he is a co-host of the popular and exclusive live viewer chat in real time during PPV.com's live stream of the Anthony Joshua Francis Ngannou heavyweight rumble this Friday, and that's on March 8th, and it'll be at 1 p.m. Eastern time, 10 a.m. Pacific, and this heavyweight rumble is going to come from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. It's priced at $69.99, and you can order that by going to ppv.com, and Jim, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
My privilege. Great to be with you.
I tell you what, before we start, I have to tell you that for the years that you were on HBO's boxing, 87 all the way to the end, I didn't appreciate how much I loved it until it's no longer there. But boy, thanks for all the great fights that you called.
Well, HBO as a medium, premium pay cable, was really the ideal distribution system for boxing. I had the privilege of getting what amounted to a boxing narration apprenticeship on ABC Sports before I left ABC in late 1987 to go to other work platforms. That's when I signed a deal to go to work for HBO, and it was paradise for me because by that time I was very devoted to continuing to call boxing. The chief executive at ABC, newly arrived in the sports division when new ownership forced Rune Arledge out, had arrived with one predilection about that division, which was, who is Jim Lampley and why are we paying him all this money and what can I do to get rid of him? And he assigned me to boxing, thinking that the disapproval would be so extreme that that would force me to walk away from my network contract. Ultimately, I did walk away because his disapproval was so extreme. But before I left, he had managed to assign me to my first several boxing exposures, which were Mike Tyson's first five or six fights on network television. And so I managed accidentally to forge a recognizable bond with Tyson and his career. HBO signed Tyson to become an exclusive property at HBO. And, you know, at that point, they came to me and said, would you call our fights? I said, yes, for the next 31 years until some misguided new ownership decides they want to offload boxing from HBO. But it was a fabulous 31-year run for me. And the stories that I had the privilege of telling are indelible and will stay in my constitution for as long as I'm lucky enough to live.
I tell you what, thanks for that, because it was a lot of fun. Now if we go to this fight this week, Ngannou he's almost like a movie script.
That's the first thing I said to him in my interview with him 2 days ago. Your life is like a movie. There's no question that it will be a movie. Couldn't have said it better.
I don't even know where to go. Did you think you would ever be where somebody is fighting against a fighter of Joshua's stature and essentially his first real fight? And yet this one we're looking at, and you know, Ngannou's got the power that Anthony Joshua, as excellent of a fighter as he is, he's got to be prepared because he could actually lose this fight.
Well, one of the reasons it's taking place, maybe the biggest reason, is that it isn't his first, quote, real fight. It's his second one. Yeah. And in his first one, against the recognized heavyweight champion of boxing, Tyson Fury, he almost won. And he knocked Fury down. So that in itself was an enticing platform for someone else to get into the ring with him from the conventional boxing world. And of course, Joshua and Fury both occupy an exalted and kind of ultra mythical status in the world of boxing. Great Britain's two legitimate heavyweight boxing champions. And so they're, whether they'll admit it or not, they're constantly engaged in a proxy war with each other for influence and legitimacy. So once Ngannou achieved what he achieved against Fury, and a fair number of observers thought that he actually deserved to be judged as the winner in the fight, it only made sense for Joshua, looking at the dollar figures, looking at the emotional impact for him, besting Fury in the media world of Great Britain, it was an absolutely logical path for him to be the next to go into the ring against Francis Ngannou. And of course, now that Ngannou has gotten his feet wet in boxing, there's plenty to fear here. He has massive punching power, and he has all the innate desire and motivation that comes from his extraordinary background. Sand mines. Whoever heard of sand mines? And I asked him, is it logical to assume that every single minute you were working in the sand mines, in the back of your mind, you were trying to conjure what else you could do that would possibly amount to an escape from that? And he said, exactly right. He said, I never spent an hour in the sand mines when I wasn't conjuring, what can I do to get away from this? Well, what he could do is MMA. What he could do is this new brand of fighting that the public has embraced and accorded a certain legitimacy to. And now he gets to go into the ring and fight Joshua in a legitimate boxing match just after having done the same thing with Fury. It's a great story.
Yeah, and I tell you, it's interesting. Is Joshua planning to stay away from that power? What did you get any inkling as to what he may do to counter this Herculean force that Ngannou has?
Well, logic is that he would try to establish distance, maintain distance, and not get into a firefight with Ngannou. And that's what Fury neglected to do, which he right. could have done if he had been, you know, devoted to the task, but maybe he was distracted by having spent several months in preparation or, quote, preparation for that fight, doing a vanity reality television project. And as a side comment from me, once you've entered into a vanity reality television project, you have verged into unreality in your life. And I think that may be an explanation for why Fury didn't perform at his best against Ngannou. But there are no secrets now as Joshua prepares to get in against him. And I asked him, you know, are you going to try to make certain that this is every minute that you're in there a boxing match? And he said, well, it's logical that you would ask that. And it's logical that I would try that. But that's not what I expect. And he said, this guy is a big and somewhat irresistible force, and he's in there to fight me. So I have to accept and realize and understand that at some point, this is going to be a fight. And it's going to be a fight that I have to win with my own physical capabilities, just as he thinks he can win it with his.
You know, when you look at this and you're thinking about this, is there any past fight that you can point to draw anything from? Or is this such a unique situation that it's like a new moment in boxing?
Well, I think the template is Ngannou versus Fury. Again, there's an ongoing proxy war for prestige and recognition between Joshua and Fury. And, you know, if I asked Joshua, and I probably did, something to the effect of, do you think that Fury had a bad plan and you have a better one? His answer would be, I'm not Fury and Fury's not me. And you can't establish what my intentions are based on what Tyson did. So, you know, there are mysteries, there are questions. They're kind of the same ones that existed before Fury versus Ngannou. Joshua's a different person, and we'll see what happens. I do think that Anthony is by nature maybe a little more cautious than the current version of Tyson Fury, who has morphed over a period of time from being basically a cautious counterpuncher to being a much more confident attacker, partially because of what he learned about himself in his fights with Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, and I will say the Fury fight, I think, woke up everyone who just assumed that a UFC fighter, you know, couldn't really land good blows on a you know, on a boxer based on, you know, the Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor type of thing. You know, when you look at this, what do you think is next? You know, do you see any permutations here? You know, should Joshua win, does this vault him into that final fight, you know, that everybody's been waiting for with Fury? Obviously, there's some unfinished business with Usyk on the Fury side, and we have to see what happens with Ngannou. It's kind of a crazy moment in the heavyweight, because it could pivot in about five different directions here.
Well, I'm not sure that AJ would agree with me when I say this, because AJ reserves the right to govern his own identity in his own way. But I believe that he cannot reclaim what destiny projected as his intended legacy unless he beats Ngannou and beats Fury and finds some way to extradite the leftover aura of his two losses to Usyk from his record, whether that means going back into the ring against Usyk or fighting some other skilled boxing counterpuncher and getting a win. I think he needs that kind of thing too. But step one is to win this fight, which again, he acknowledges is not going to be just a boxing match, is going to be a fight. Mayweather had unique and extraordinary skills, and I don't think that Conor McGregor understood enough about the difference between boxing rules, boxing environment, and boxing procedures, and what he had experienced in MMA to know how difficult that was going to be. Mayweather was brilliant. He allowed McGregor to control the aggression and the flow of the action in the early rounds. He knew that if he did that and managed to stay away and dodge his punches, he could cause McGregor's legs to tire out. And once he had taken away McGregor's legs with that, then he began stepping into his counterpunches and getting within range where he could still move his head and dodge and get away from Conor. And he pretty easily controlled the fight. You could imagine Joshua possibly doing some of the same thing against Ngannou, but you could far more easily imagine Usyk doing that, because that's really Usyk's heavyweight game. So again, I think Joshua is realistic in expecting this will be a fight, and he's going to have to fight back hard to have a chance to win it.
Well, I tell you what, you are painting a fantastic picture. Folks, Jim is working with PPV.com. You can get that $69.99, the pay-per-view. That starts at 1 p.m. on Friday, March 8th. That's 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific time. Jim, thanks a lot, and we will be right back after these messages.
My privilege. Thanks very much.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info in recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
We are back, and thank you so much for coming onto the show here. Jim Lampley is going to talk to us a little bit about boxing. And Jim, I wanted to ask you, because I don't know anybody who would be able to answer this better than you. How is boxing going to generate superstars when it's so hard to access it in terms of there's no HBO? ESPN is at least doing something. But in the 80s, you know, for in the 70s, you could get it on regular TV. You could turn on Wide World of Sports. You could turn on, you know, boxing and watch that. How do you develop stars in a pay-per-view driven world?
Well, you've just asked the critical and so far unanswerable question, because it's indisputable and undeniable that not just in recent years, but over the course of the past few decades, the pattern has gone from you make money from getting as large an audience as you can possibly get to you make money from getting viewers to pay as much as you can possibly get them to pay to see the event. And obviously, the problem with the second economic formula, the ones at play right now, is that it shrinks the audience. It doesn't grow it. So I think it's helpful to boxing that the institutional leaders of boxing realize the problem as it exists and as it continues to grow, and they're trying to fight back against the problem, partially by interacting with MMA, which has the fascination of the new, which has drawn some younger viewers who might not previously have known much or understood much about boxing. Boxing people are hoping every time an Anthony Joshua steps into the ring with a Francis Ngannou, or a Tyson Fury steps into the ring with a Francis Ngannou, that the boxer is going to somehow emerge victorious, and therefore try to convince some younger viewers to follow boxing who have not done so up to this point. But it feels to a certain degree like a long-term losing battle. And we've been talking about it ever since the arrival of HBO and Showtime and the dominance over boxing that HBO and Showtime achieved in the 1980s. That was a less dramatic version of what is now going on. But the longer you go narrowing your audience for the purpose of maximizing the economic return one viewer at a time, the less likely it is that you're going to wind up with a giant pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah, it's there's been some decisions. I guess you don't have a commissioner, you don't have a league, so it's hard to make good decisions. Another question.
You know, for a long time, HBO was kind of the commissioner.
Exactly.
And then along came a group of cell phone salesmen from Dallas who were able to buy the world's largest and most prestigious entertainment company, and presto, it's gone. I still don't understand the reason why AT&T felt like it was a good idea to get out of boxing, but I wasn't the person who was paid to make that decision.
And I am right there behind you in agreeing with that, because that was a frustrating one. One question, because you've spanned, you know, quite a bit of history. One of the questions we get is that Floyd Mayweather is the GOAT, and because of the undefeated record. And I'm going to ask you, you know, we had a discussion where basically a lot of people talked about, you know, ultimately maybe Sugar Ray Leonard or Tommy Hearns would have been able to handle him without a ton of issues. You've seen all these great fighters fight. How do you slot somebody like Floyd, and how do you compare eras?
Well, I think you have to start by recognizing, and it becomes clearer all the time, boxing is two things. It's competition and it's theater. If you want to focus on competition only, you can make a case that Floyd Mayweather was the greatest of all time because he won all his fights. And it was very, very difficult to even make it look competitive against Floyd. But did he entertain? He entertained in a sort of perverse anti-hero worship way. He entertained by proving that he could do things exactly the way he wanted to. He could focus on achieving what he wanted on the competitive ledger, and he didn't have to really give a flying flip as to whether he was entertaining anybody in the audience. If you were entertaining and getting hurt by doing so, you were catering to the very men that Floyd wanted to defy. So he, you know, and he sold that effectively on social media. Without what Floyd learned about social media and what he gained in terms of audience development from social media, there wouldn't have been a Floyd Mayweather phenomenon. And oh, by the way, other people watched that and learned from it and learned, for instance, that you could be alienating via social media. You could be antisocial via social media. You could be difficult and obstreperous on social media. And there was a nucleus of people who would like it rather than dislike it. One of the things I say to people, dramatically oversimplifying, but just as food for thought, is no Mayweather, no Trump. Trump is a boxing fan. Trump watched what Floyd did. Trump realized what you could get away with in terms of consolidating your own audience and feeding people's desire to get back against the man. And I think Floyd created the model that Trump ultimately used to get to where he is. So in that sense, yes, Floyd is the greatest of all time. Was it entertaining? Not compared to what Sugar Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns did, taking risks in the ring, taking risks to plead to please the men who were never going to get over on Floyd.
Right. Yeah, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. I tell you what, Jim, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us about, you know, the Joshua Ngannou fight. And again, one last time, folks, ppv.com. Friday, March 8th, 1 p.m. Eastern time. It's only $69.99. And obviously, Jim will be out there, and you can find him online doing analysis live, ppv.com.
Via chat. Let's make that clear.
Yep, you won't hear my voice. Yes.
You will see in text my comments on the fight and on what's going on. It's a new communications medium which has not existed before the creation of ppv.com.
Yeah, this is a fantastic feature. So I'm personally, I'm going to be exploring that and I'm going to be excited about it. Thank you so much, Jim, for your time, and have a great fight and I look forward to your thoughts on it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your audience.
And we will be right back after these messages.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-485-8801. 800-485-8801. That's 800-485-8801.
And thank you so much for listening. And of course, a huge thanks goes out to Jim Lampley, boxing broadcasting legend and just a fantastic person. We appreciate him taking the time. If you've enjoyed this, make sure you try to listen to Big Sports Radio. You can find that on just about any podcast purveyor. We come out once a week and you can hear us talking about the big events of the weekend from a sporting standpoint, with a focus on college sports in general and the Big Ten in particular. And if you are an Illini fan, obviously you have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, which is another weekly show that focuses on the Fighting Illini. With that, I certainly appreciate your time. Thank you, and go Illini!